What comes to mind when you think of the gift of evangelism? Is evangelism something that you feel equipped for? Where do we even start taking part in this journey? Welcome to the GBC Sermon Podcast, a weekly message from Gymea Baptist Church in Sydney, Australia. I'm Mark Coleman, Associate Pastor at GBC, and I hope that you hear the invitation of the Holy Spirit as you listen to this message. As a community of faith, this is what we are passionate about: people hearing and responding to the invitation of God to join in His mission to renew everything in Jesus. This week, we launch a new series that explores a framework for evangelism. Developed by Belinda Lakeland, evangelism consultant for the Baptist Association, Plan A is based on Matthew 28 and seeks to help every Christian live out the Great Commission. In this message, Belinda chatted to Mark Rader to help us understand the heart and themes behind this great new resource.
Hi everyone, I'm Ben. I'm going to read you the Bible verse from Matthew chapter 28 to verse 16 to 20. Then the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain where Jesus had told them to go. When they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. Then Jesus said to them, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples in all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age."
Well, today I'm delighted to have Belinda Lakeland with us. I've known Belinda for a few years now. Belinda works a couple days a week with the Baptist Association in the area of evangelism, which is how I first was introduced to you, I believe. Mm-hmm. We've had a little bit to do with one another, and we're about to start a new sermon series that's based on some material that Belinda has come up with. So I thought it'd be great for us to take some time in today's service just to get to know Belinda and to hear a little bit about Plan A. So let's do that in that order. Belinda, welcome. Great to have you with us.
Thank you. I'm really glad to be here.
Yeah, good. Tell us a bit about yourself.
Well, I'm from down the south coast, so a small town called Wollongong, an even smaller suburb of that called Dapto. I'm really proud Daptoian, actually. I love my community. Everything is within walking distance, so it's a great place to live. I have four children, so I've got two in high school and two in primary school. And I'm married to Tim. We've been married about 20 years, and...
And that's about it.
That's it. I didn't know what else you wanted to know, sorry.
So how did COVID treat you and your family?
Yeah, we were really fine. So we understand that many people, it was very difficult for them. My husband was able to keep his job. So he's a tradie. He had to go down to Nowra to work in the flour mill. But all that baking that everybody did kept him employed. So we're glad for that. And the kids were fine. We just rolled with homeschooling. I don't have any little children or any kids doing the HSC. So there wasn't much pressure on us. So.
Yeah, that's good. Now, you do a couple of days a week with the Baptist Association. What do you fill the rest of your time with? I mean, mm-hmm. I'm guessing that four kids probably takes a chunk of that.
Well, they go to school. So, you know, after school, there's things to be done in non-COVID times. Yeah, so I would normally serve with my local community. So I volunteer for my local church and I just meet people and try and get to know my community.
Okay. And how long have you been working with the Baptist Association?
About 4.5 years now.
Okay. How'd that come about?
Well, that's a funny question. So I applied for the job when I was living in Queensland. So my husband was looking like he would be losing his job and was like, might be helpful if you got a job at this time. And so I started looking for work. My kids were all going to be starting school as well. So it seemed like a good time to go back to work after being a stay-at-home mum. And I was looking for jobs and I saw the role of evangelism consultant advertised for the Baptist Association. And the Spirit sort of quickened in me and said, you should apply for this. And I did, and happily the association agreed, and here I am.
Now, I think for many of us, kind of everyday Christians, reading something that said evangelism consultant would probably not quicken our spirit at all. You've described yourself as an evangelist. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. When did you first realize, was it like when you read the job description, or did you know before that you were probably on the evangelism spectrum?
I think I had an inkling because when we moved up to Queensland, the minister asked me if I would do kids ministry. And I'd done kids ministry for 10 years, but I said, you know, I'd just love to actually do some outreach. Is there a way that I could be involved in evangelism? And that was sort of the first time I'd articulated, like, I think I might have a gift. Is there a way that that could be used? And he was more than happy to go with that.
So how, that was the first time you articulated it. What was the evidence? Like, if you'd had to explain, why do you say that? Like, what would you have said?
I think what gets me out of bed in the morning is that maybe today I'll get to tell someone about Jesus. And when I looked at all the ways I'd volunteered for the church, what actually kept me motivated was maybe I'll get to tell someone about Jesus. So if I'm in the crèche, am I going to tell the children about Jesus? And if I'm in playtime, I'm going to tell the mums about Jesus. I'm just looking for those opportunities. Okay. And so that's what motivates me to get to know people and spend time with people, just that I might get to tell them about Jesus.
Now, you know, again, you know, for those who are listening and watching now, some people are probably sitting there kind of going, oh, that's me, oh, that's me. And others are feeling like, oh, that is not me. What would you say to people whose spirit quickened at that description and thought, oh, that is me? Like, what advice would you give them?
Yeah, you know what? I still didn't say I had the gift of evangelism until I'd actually been employed for this job. So when I interviewed for this job, they said, are you an evangelist? And I said, oh no, I just love to tell everyone about Jesus. I actually thought that was normal. I thought every Christian had that experience. And it wasn't until I was having a conversation with an evangelist who described those feelings and I went, oh, that's the gift of evangelism, just that's my motivation. And so what I've found, so since actually being brave enough to say, I think I have the gift of evangelism, it's really helped me learn and grow. So I would say to anyone who is thinking, I just love telling people about Jesus, to be upfront and say, I have the gift of evangelism and look for ways you can use it.
All right, there's your challenge. I'm looking forward to hearing from some people during the week. Now for the rest of us, right? For the rest of us then, because this is part of what Plan A is all about, because you realize not only that you might be a little bit different than other believers in that sense, but also that many people probably didn't feel quite the same way and were quite intimidated by the prospect. And you've talked about your husband a couple of times, but he was actually part of the, not the motivation for Plan A, but he's kind of in your mind. Can you just explain that a bit?
Yeah, so once I realized not everyone feels like this, not everyone sees the same motivation, not everyone is willing to take the same sort of risks, I thought, how can I help people who don't have the gift of evangelism? And where I was noticing sort of tension was because my husband, Tim, isn't a gifted evangelist. And the sorts of things that I was saying and asking him to do weren't really working for him. And he was saying, you're not understanding my life. And I thought, he's right. You know, I'm not understanding his life. And if I'm going to be any sort of evangelism trainer, if I'm going to have any integrity in this job, I need to be able to equip the Tims of the world, the people who get up at 4 a.m. and slog their guts out all day and come home exhausted. Mm-hmm. Because the evangelists are going to be fine. They're going to find a way to share Jesus. But let's say 80% of the church aren't evangelists, then we really need to work on equipping and inspiring the 80%.
Now, Plan A, your tagline, is the Great Commission for everyday believers.
No,
I've got it wrong.
For every Christian.
For every Christian.
Yes.
That was close.
You were close.
That was close.
It was a good effort.
Thank you. I try. But the emphasis in that is, you know, not only the Great Commission, as Jesus kind of gave that, but that it is for all of us to participate in. So it's not something that we can abdicate and just say to the evangelists, go knock yourselves out and we'll figure it out. It's something for all of us, which is part of the tension. And so Plan A is not a tool or a methodology, but instead it's a series of principles. What led you to that?
Yeah, so I think, you know, I mean, wouldn't it be great if there was a formula to start with, but there's just not a formula. And what I found with tools are really helpful, but they're really specific. And so if that tool doesn't match your personality or your context or your season of life, you're sort of left feeling like a failure maybe, or guilty, or you just give up. And so if we take a tool, inviting friends to an outreach event. Okay, so you get trained in how to do that, and that's really helpful. But if you work weekends and it doesn't suit you to be able to invite people to a weekend outreach, then that tool is actually no good for you. So tools are helpful, but they're not helpful all the time for everyone. But if we take principles, so we think, well, why do we want to invite people to an outreach event? Well, it's because we want people to hear about Jesus. I mean, that's the principle. And then we think, gee, there's 20 ways people can hear about Jesus. And so principles allow people to think about their own situation and to apply the principle in a way that suits their context.
So what are the five principles of Plan A? And just before we get there, it's Plan A because there's no Plan B.
That's right. Yeah, Jesus always intended for people to go to people. Yeah. Right.
And for us, not just people.
Yes.
That's right. So tell us, what are the five principles?
Well, I've called them growing, knowing, sowing, rowing, and showing up.
Well, you know it's a good set of principles if they all rhyme, right? You know.
I learned that at Bible college.
That's right. We should have a class on rhyming and, you know, rhythm and all those sorts of things. All right, so growing,
knowing,
sowing, rowing, and showing up.
Yeah.
Okay, so let's just kind of briefly go through them. First one is growing. What do you mean by that?
Well, because it's disciples who make disciples. And so our own relationship with Jesus is central to everything that follows. And if we kind of mess this up, it really messes up everything else anyway. So, and apart from that, even if we couldn't do anything else, even if you were in serious bad health and stuck in bed, you are loved. You know, you're not loved because you go out and talk about Jesus. And so I wanted to remind people how loved they are, but also our best witness, our most authentic witness, comes from an authentic relationship with Jesus.
Which means that the very first step of evangelism, of course, is just everyday discipleship.
Yes,
in lots of ways.
That's right. Yeah.
It kind of brings those two together. Mm. We often, I think, keep them apart. There's discipleship and then there's evangelism.
Yeah.
Okay. So that's the first one. So growing in our relationship with Jesus. Mm-hmm. Second one is knowing. Mm. That means what?
That means being relational. And so the difference, I mean, you can do evangelism without being relational. So, I mean, Billy Graham preached to millions of people. He didn't know them. I mean, that's evangelism. Yeah. But to make disciples, to make people who become more like Jesus, it really involves relationship. Mm-hmm. And we see that in the way Jesus called, like, friends, didn't he? Like 12 disciples to do life with him.
Yeah.
And even in Australia, we know that people who decide to become Christians usually do so because they have a friend who's a Christian.
It's kind of an interesting, it's an interesting principle because I think we often think of the Billy Graham thing as the way that evangelism takes place, even though for most of us, our experience is, as you say, meeting a Christian, knowing, learning a whole bunch about Christianity from an individual, and then maybe going to a Billy Graham type event or someplace where it's proclaimed. That's really interesting.
Well, that's right. Like the people who were at the Billy Graham Crusades were there because they had relationships with Christians.
Yeah.
So it's part of the process.
Yeah. Okay. So growing in our own faith, knowing other people in one way, shape or form, sowing. Mm. And we can probably guess what that means, but is this where we get into the tools or is this still a principle?
Well, it's still a principle, but tools do help, I must admit. Like learning how to share your testimony is a useful tool. But the principle is sowing seeds about Jesus. And I've chosen deliberately the idea of sowing seeds because they're small and scattered. So the evangelist will go out and proclaim the gospel or share the whole gospel. But my focus here is the everyday believer who's working, maybe just having lunch with people or on a sports team. And most of the ways we get to speak about Jesus is just something here and there and just looking to see if that seed grows, if there's any interest in exploring further.
Okay, so can you give us an example? I'll put you on the spot and you got an example of a seed sowing?
Yeah. So, I mean, I think it's really helpful just to let people know that you're a Christian to start with. So at work, maybe mentioning that you went to church on the weekend. I mean, I've used that. So there was an example when I was in the shutdown period chatting to one of my neighbors. She asked what else I do. I said I go to online church. And she just kept talking like I hadn't even said anything. But I thought, that's okay. You know, it's not my job to actually make her interested. But I'm just letting her know that I'm a Christian. That's part of my life. That's sowing a seed.
Okay. So it can be as simple as that.
Yeah.
Or as, I guess, complex as taking people through the whole gospel if the opportunity arises.
Yeah, but I just didn't want the everyday believer to think unless you're getting through a gospel presentation, you're not doing enough in terms of speaking about Jesus.
Because that can often be a barrier, isn't it? That we think if I'm going to share Jesus, I have to share the whole thing and I don't know enough. enough, or I, whatever it might be. Yeah.
I mean, and I've had to learn that as well, because yeah. I was trained in gospel presentations, and I felt like if I wasn't getting through a gospel presentation, then I just wasn't doing it well enough. But honestly, I've had really great conversations by learning the principle of just having conversations, just being able to listen to people and ask about their life. Like, it's okay just to get to know people and love them.
Right. You don't have to tell the whole thing all at once.
No.
So let me ask you this, as an evangelist, how many times have you done the full gospel presentation? Like, does that happen to you all the time? You know, you sow a little bit of seed, next thing you know, you got a revival in your backyard. Like, should we, like, what should we expect here?
Well, I'm sorry to tell you, maybe I've got through gospel presentations, like something like Two Ways to Live, maybe five times.
Wow.
Yeah, that is not the main way I share Jesus.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's really interesting, because again, I think, you know, the assumption of evangelism is that you should be doing that, I don't know, a lot. You know, and once we kind of assume that we should be doing it a lot, we kind of stop thinking about it, because it's like, I can't even do it once. And so that I find that really encouraging to kind of think, okay, here's someone who's, you know, whose motivation in the morning is, am I going to share Jesus with somebody, actually doesn't often get to that stage, that most of even your experience is sowing seeds and all those sorts of things. That's great. So, and that's where the tools would come in, I suppose.
Yeah, and so, I mean, I found now the way I mostly speak about Jesus is actually by sharing stories from the Bible about Jesus.
Really?
So, yeah, I mean, there was one time I was sitting with my neighbor, we'd sat for hours and just chatting. She was sharing about how life had been for her since her husband had died. And I mean, it had been sad. And after listening to her for a couple of hours, I said, is it okay if I share with you a story about a time Jesus was sad over death? And she said, yes. And so I told her the story of Jesus, you know, being told that Lazarus was dead and going to his tomb and weeping, like looking around and seeing that death is our enemy, and it causes us pain, and it causes Jesus pain. But he's come to do something about it. And so he called for the tombstone to be rolled away and called Lazarus out. And, you know, as I'm telling my neighbor this, she showed me her arms, and the hairs on her arms were standing, and she's like, the power. You know, like she was getting something about Jesus. So I'm not trying to
Let me ask you, what happened next then? Did she fall to her knees in repentance?
No, she didn't. And so, but I wouldn't even expect that, because what I'm hoping is that she will learn one thing about Jesus, and we can journey towards Jesus over friendship and time and conversations. And so I just think if people can learn one thing about Jesus, then that's great.
Which then comes back, of course, to growing in our own discipleship, knowledge of the stories and that's great. That sounds doable, doesn't it? That sounds doable.
And, you know, and there's like sharing your testimony. I share my testimony fairly often as well. So there are other ways to sort of get a little bit more into detail. And then learning how to read the Bible with people is probably a really great tool that we feel a bit scared about. But if they're with the right training, I think that's a great tool as well.
Yeah, okay. So growing in our relationship with Jesus, knowing other people, sowing seeds, looking for interest, and then rowing. That's probably a little bit unexpected for us. What do you mean by rowing?
Yeah, so I wanted to capture the idea of partnership. And so I went with rowing because it rhymes. And then the idea that we are in a boat and rowing together. And because we think of personal evangelism as this is on me. You know, I've got to go to work and I've got to tell everyone there about Jesus. And that can just feel so daunting. But I'm not even sure that's, I mean, we should go to work and witness for Jesus, but I don't think we should feel that kind of pressure because Jesus trained a group of people and he sends them out as a group. Like, I actually think the church, the local church, needs to take responsibility for making disciples. And we're part of the local church. So I wanted a way to talk about you're not in this on your own and you are uniquely gifted and you have passions and talents that you can use to help the church go and make disciples.
Okay. So the partnership component.
Yeah.
Okay. And then the last one is showing up. So it's the only two-worder one, but you know, rhyme can only take you so far. So what do you mean by showing up?
I wanted to capture the idea that this is hard. And because I do live this out, I actually know what it's like to be disappointed, and I know what it's like to be rejected, and I know what it's like to be insulted. And all of those things hurt and discourage me. It's not because I'm an evangelist, I don't care. You know, and I have faced times where I've felt like giving up. I've just not wanted to do this anymore. And I'm like, if I feel like that and I'm an evangelist, I mean, how do other people feel? And I just wanted to create space to discuss the reality that this is hard, but we're plan A, so we can't give up. So how is it we can keep showing up? How is it we can keep trying to share Jesus with our friends and families and community?
And what's the principle? So if that's what showing up is, what? throw me a line here.
The principle is we need to depend on Jesus. Okay. You know, it's Jesus's plan, and Jesus is the one who's going to make it work. And I think sometimes we just go out on our own and try and do things in our own effort, and that's one of the reasons we feel discouraged. But if we can learn to pray and learn to look for where Jesus is working, if we can learn to listen to the Holy Spirit, then that will help us to keep showing up. But then even facing the reality that despite all of that, things may not work out for us. Mm-hmm. But Jesus didn't actually promise us it would be easy. You know, he said, pick up your cross and follow me. Mm-hmm. So we shouldn't be surprised when it is hard. Mm-hmm. And we should remember, again, how valued we are and what Jesus has promised us, what is waiting for us.
Mm. All right, so those are the five principles, not tools, not methodologies, not models necessarily, but principles to apply in our lives. As I said, we're going to be doing a sermon series, so for the next 5 weeks after this, we're going to be working our way through each of those principles and trying to do them kind of justice and unpacking them for a little bit in our community of faith. And Belinda's also prepared some life group materials, so if you're in a life group, which we encourage you to be, there'll be some life group resources where you can kind of go along with the sermon series or at another time if you'd like and work through these principles yourselves to be better equipped for evangelism. This is great stuff really helpful for us. Can you just kind of share briefly, I suppose, what's your desired outcome here? I mean, apart from people hearing about Jesus and having their lives changed by him. But, you know, if someone were sitting there thinking to themselves, so why should I learn plan A? Why should I think through these principles? What's your hope for them?
My hope really is to inspire every Christian to see that they can be involved in the Great Commission. And just that it can be part of our everyday lives. You know, if we're growing in our relationship with Jesus, if we're loving our neighbors, like it's not glamorous. You're not going to be able to make YouTube videos about the time you took your sick neighbor a meal, you know, but it's part of the plan. And so I just want people to see that there is a way that they can be involved in the Great Commission in whatever way suits their context, which will be different to my context, but that's the beauty of it.
Mm. Well, thank you so much for being with us. It's been great chatting with you and getting to know you a little bit more as well. And very excited about Plan A and what we're going to be able to do with it as a church.
Perhaps this week, God is inviting you to consider how you are growing, knowing, sowing, rowing, and showing up. As we seek to become those who are helping make disciples each and every day, we are also encouraged to recognize that we are God's Plan A. We'd love to hear from you as you hear and respond to the invitation of God. Find us on Facebook or visit our website at gymeabaptist.org.au. May your eyes and ears be open and your heart soft to the invitation of the Spirit to join in God's renewing work in Jesus. God bless.